What's up, everybody? This is Preston Johnson. Welcome to A Petty Moose. This is an episode that we have been wanting to do for months because college football is my favorite thing in the world. Matt, it's up there for you at least. And it's been a few weeks since you've been in the studio, and you've been working some nights. I know I covered and went solo one week. We also were out for holidays, Thanksgiving. But we're talking college bowls, and we might throw in some college hoops. We're going to take questions. We're going to take calls. So if you are on the stream and you're listening now, the calls, we can take them. The producer is now sitting in his chair, and there are lights flashing, so we will take your calls. We'll talk about the games and, everything else that comes in between. Real quick, how have you been? Give us a few thoughts and words on this intro on how life's going.
I've been great. You know, been really busy last few weeks. Obviously, that crossover with college football wrapping up and all the college basketball during Thanksgiving. I think we probably talked about it last time we were here, but super busy time of year. Kind of nice to decompress for a couple weeks and get a little bit of downtime before the bowls start. And, you know, we'll have some huge college basketball slates, I guess, the next couple Saturdays. But this week's been great. Just kind of relaxing.
I apologize. I forgot your wife's future wife's name, but did you happen to meet up with her when she was here for baseball winter meetings?
You know, I told my buddy, I said, if she likes it, it was an okay decision or okay move. If she follows me, it was a good move. And if she DMs me, it was a great move or more, but I only got a like. So.
You only got a like? Oh, she got a like.
I got a like, so at least I didn't get ignored, but, disappointing. I don't know. Just got to, keep building up those followers. And then when I try that again in a couple of years, maybe she'll reconsider.
Wow. Yeah. This is Matt Lindemann, Caesars Matt Lindemann. There you go. Hey, well, we're going to jump into the calls. We might as well jump into the games. Michael, thank you for giving us a call. Thanks for being patient. Sorry that took a little bit. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing great, Preston. I called in a couple of weeks ago. You and I had a little bit of a contentious talk, but I wanted to tell you about Northwestern Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
I've got so much respect for you. You know, honestly, the way you I'm being honest with you because I know how you see the game. I know how brilliant you are. I know what kind of money you're betting. I have no idea what you come from, but I realize where you are, so I give you all the respect in the world, no matter how our opinions vary, what have you. And we're going to get another chance here pretty soon because Alabama is going to play Oklahoma, and I know you kind of liked Oklahoma, thought they had a shot to take them down outright with plus the money line odds, right?
Yep. To be completely honest, I just think they're the team that can give Oklahoma the best shot, and outside of Georgia, which we already saw. But that was kind of my angle there was I don't think I'd take plus 14. I think it's just one of those Oklahoma wins outright or loses by 28 type of games. So it's just a really high variance wide vacuum type. You know, they probably do get Alabama if they make a few mistakes. They can score on them. I think that's for sure. So that's kind of my take there. Do you have a side that you like in the game or total?
Yeah, I actually like Alabama a good deal, and we'll see. I make my number 19.5, so we'll see how the game goes out. I actually
laid 13.5 just for the sake of playing it back later because I thought it was going to be higher too, personally. So so far, not much higher at least. So I don't know. Maybe I end up having to just take 14 back, but I'm hoping at least for 14.5.
Guys, this is what I want to ask you. This is my bowl game of the year, and I'll give you my opinion after you give me yours. I've already played the game for a big piece. Army-Houston. I think Army opened 3.5 floating around out there today. What do you guys think about the game?
Yeah, so it was interesting because it was one of the only games, at least bowl games, that wasn't lined at all because Army was still playing Navy, which they more or less, I think, dominated the game. Ended up landing 7, which I guess pushed for most people, although there was some steam that pushed it up to 7.5. So if you took the plus 7.5, you got there. I had the number right in between the 3 and the 3.5. So I wasn't going to bet it. I'm surprised it's your bowl game of the year. I liked the under some, but it already moved 4 points. It's down to 60 from 64.5 open. So for me, it's passive, both current numbers. And I would ultimately try to figure out I imagine King's still out for Houston. I think he was done for the season. So how much can the backup quarterback really do? And if Army's able to just kind of defend Houston and keep them out of the end zone, then they should be able to wear down the Houston defense. So for me, I would probably lean the Army direction just because of the quarterback issues for Houston. I don't know if Matt has any sentiments on that yet.
You know, this was one game where my number was I actually had Army or Houston a small favorite, and I don't know if maybe I didn't adjust enough for King being out or what it was, but we opened Houston, I think, 1.5, and it's now 3 the other way. So clearly a lot of respect for Army and the fact that I think – these option teams in bowl games just really give their opponents a lot of trouble. I think it's, really tough tackling and preparing for the option, over the course of December when you're at the end of the year. So I think those are some things going in favor of Army. And obviously Oliver being out is going to make that run defense a little bit weaker also. But, I don't know. I'm not impressed by Army's strength of schedule. I don't think they beat anybody all year. And I realize that this is a team that's going to be motivated and they'll be there. But Talent-wise, obviously, Houston has a big edge. And I think if you look at that last game they played against Memphis, they were actually tied at the end of the third quarter. So I know it looked like they got blown out, but at the end of the day, they really didn't play that poorly until the fourth. So I think maybe that created a little bit of value in Houston. I think the number's a little ridiculous now, and honestly, I could probably only play Houston if I played the game.
I would say real quick, I looked up, I forgot his name, but Clayton Toon was the freshman that's playing quarterback, and I remembered he started, if I recall, Houston actually opened the game with a touchdown drive, and he was 5 of 5 or 6 of 6, and then he finished 18 of 43. So essentially after those first six passes, he went 12 of 37. And it's not like Memphis's defense is that special. So that, I guess that would be my ultimate worry there, is just that offensively, what can you get from Houston? But Michael may have other thoughts for us.
Well, I do have other thoughts. And just aside, I think Memphis is one of the most overrated teams in the country, and I think there's a good chance that Wake Forest gets those guys outright. But if you look at the key differences, like red zone offense against red zone defense, I mean, there's a different about 100 spots in this team. Penalties as well, plus the motivational fact. The good thing about the players for Army, they're always going to show up and play. And there's three other defenders that aren't going to play for Houston. And I just don't think they're going to bring their best game, to be quite honest with you. I think they kind of mailed it in after the quarterback got kneecapped, and that was the end of the season for them. And I think Army's a little better than you guys think they are. And I think the rush defense for Houston's up around 100 in the country, and I guess Army's one of the best rushing teams in the country. And then Army has a top 20 defense or top 12 defense, adjusted for schedule. So I think it's a mismatch, guys. Of course, we're going to play the game on the field. Let me just sneak this guy in here real quick, just a pro question, if I may, Preston. Do you mind real
sure.
quick?
Sure, yeah, go for it.
Okay, hey, my big play Sunday got a big, big piece. I love the Colts. I'm waiting for them to get bought. I think the public's going to come in on Dallas Sunday morning. I mean, the Colts have taken a little money. Buy back, maybe it gets back to 2.5. If not, I'll take the Colts on the money line. But I love them in this spot. Dallas, 5 straight wins. A lot of them at home, primetime games, 99%. You know, they have the division. If they just get one more win the last three or some one of the teams, you know, loses in the division, I guess Carson Wentz is out for the year. They take it down. The Colts need the game like blood. They've got a top 10 defense, the number one defense in the NFL since week 7. And then, of course, Andrew Luck at home. I think they're way too much. I think the game, you know, is going to obviously get away from the Cowboys. I want to, you know, give as little as I can, though. I want to hear what you guys think.
Yeah, I'm doing write-ups for ESPN on every NFL game, and I just sent in earlier today. I mean, it'll go up tomorrow. You guys can actually read it. But I sent in my write-up, and I was surprised. I point out that it's rare to see, at least in my opinion, a value and a number in the market for a team that's covered 5 straight, and then, you know, they beat the Saints outright, and I'm talking about the Cowboys.
Sure.
My number comes out to 1.8. It was 1.7 or 1.8, and I, you know, so technically I think it's a little high, and it moved right away early this week from 3 to 2.5, which, you know, kind of agrees with where my number is. And then today, or it was yesterday, Wednesday, it got hit back up to 3, and I've heard a lot of people talk about the spot, and like you said, they basically are in a good spot where they're going to win the division now, whether they win this game or not. They're coming off of that big Eagles win, and everyone said, well, it was a lucky win, too, after, you know, the bounce that went right to them for a touchdown in overtime. So technically I agree with all the variables where the Colts make sense, and it's kind of their do-or-die game, too, in a sense. They're at home, and they're getting Dallas team that, you know, they're not going to – I basically talk about it. It's hard to, like, quantify, you know, how motivated they'll be. You can't really say they're not going to try or focus and prepare all week. But it's tough, and I mentioned that, you know, if it actually got bet up – it did already get bet up to 3, but if it got to 3.5, I'd probably end up betting a little bit on Dallas. I actually just think the number's too extreme, and there's too much value on a 3 in the NFL or just in football in general not to. So I would lean the other way at the current number. Granted, I admit that everything kind of points outside of, you know, the metrics and numbers and projections that the Colts are the right side. I don't know if Matt has any thoughts.
I got nothing. Sounds like you all summed that up pretty well. Honestly, I haven't looked at the game or any of the NFL games this week.
That's fine. Hey, Michael, we appreciate the call as usual, buddy.
Certainly.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you. You guys have a good one. Sure.
Yeah, you too. Happy holidays. I don't know if, for people that are listening, I don't know if we're actually going to have another pod before. We can try to do one, but if you're working
Yeah, we'll
week,
see. It's going to be tough, but we might be able to.
Yeah, I take off Friday morning, so I'll be gone for another week after that. We'll work it out. But, again, thanks, Michael, for the call. He says he knows what I bet per game. He kind of got a little creepy. I was like, who is this guy? He's like, I know how much you're betting per game. And
I think he's just saying in general he knows you're firing. You're not, you know, $100 better or $50 better. That's just, you know,
okay,
messing around.
I hope so. For a second, I was like,
that's
man,
an impression
who
I got,
is this
at least,
guy?
So.
Then he's like, I don't know where you come from or whatever. He was complimenting me, so I appreciate it, Michael. But maybe you know more about me than I think you know about me. We'll get to the first question while we wait for calls. 702-364-1100 is the number if you have a question about a bowl game. And, yeah, fire them at us. or NFL or hoops, whatever you guys are feeling like. But the first question came from Ryan Fedor. I hope I'm saying that correctly. At least you spell it like Fedor Holtz is the poker player that's German, and that's how they say it. So I'm going to go with that. Do you believe point spreads don't really matter when it comes to bowl games? Buying in early online and find out that some key players are out or something's happening, and then you have to be prepared to buy off, get off certain positions, or do you believe in next man up? So we have a caller. We're going to take the call, and then we'll address the Ryan's question after about do point spreads matter in bowl games. But I have some numbers on, I guess, you know, ATS stuff and Moneyline stuff, and I guess that's ultimately what he's getting at, if I understand correctly. So, Ryan, we'll get right back to that if you're listening to the show. First, we're going to take the call. Ty, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're good. What do you have for us?
I got two questions for you. The first one is wondering if there's a way at all to possibly hedge a Notre Dame to win the national championship future. So I wonder what your take was on that, and I'll stay on the line and ask my other question afterwards.
Sure, yeah. So I believe you wrote on Twitter that you have 55-1. I bet it at 57-1 before the season. So I'm in a position, though, I'm not sure if you are, where I bet Alabama for four times my Notre Dame amount at +250 before the season. So I can't hate my prospects of if Clemson does beat Notre Dame, like they will more often than not, hopefully, or at least, you know, more often than not, I'm going to have Alabama in there against Clemson for a good chunk. So I personally, I don't know if that's what's keeping me from hedging Notre Dame and the Clemson bet. I mean, it's a pretty big spread, and I like Notre Dame, and I think they've kind of been undervalued throughout the season. I also think Clemson, when you look at actually who they've beaten, I mean, the ACC's down, everyone will admit that, but three games stand out when you look at who they've played as far as offenses go. The two best ones are probably A&M and South Carolina, and both, I mean, they got outgained in the A&M game. They had to fade a two-point conversion to go to overtime. They won the game by two. And then I think South Carolina, they only threw for like almost 500 yards in that game. Now, they couldn't defend Clemson as well, and Lawrence is obviously rolling, and Etienne, or however you say his name correctly, he's been awesome. Like, there's no real holes outside, I think, of the defense, and if you're able to throw on them in the seams, especially, I remember the A&M game, they just were every 10 to 15-yard pass over the middle was wide open, and then South Carolina did it again, and I was like, okay, so they haven't really fixed that. They just finally had two offenses that were somewhat able to and competent. You look at the best defense they faced was Boston College. They rank, last I looked, was like 33rd in defensive efficiency, opponent yards per play. In that game, they scored, Clemson meaning, scored two offensive touchdowns total in a game where Boston College's quarterback got hurt, I believe, the first or second drive of the entire game, and the backup, and they're going three and out every single drive. And Clemson still only scored twice on offense, and they had a punt return. And those were their three touchdowns in that game. And so they finally play a quote-unquote pretty good defense, and Boston College, who isn't even top 30, and they can only score two touchdowns on the road against a team whose quarterback wasn't even playing, and Clemson had the time of possession like over 40 minutes. So I'm worried about the offense actually against a pretty good defense. And Notre Dame's is, I believe, fourth-ish in yards per play. But, you know, so it's maybe fourth or sixth. It's one of those two right outside the top five or right inside. So it's the best defense they've faced. And then offensively, I think it's the best offense that the defense has faced. So I kind of think getting double digits is crazy. I bet that already. And I'm not hedging 57-1. So that's my whole rendition on Notre Dame, is I think they actually have a pretty good shot at winning this game. It's going to be close. Granted, our friend Hayden already said they're going to win the game. And so Clemson should be a lock.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have anything to add, Matt. And then
no, I mean, you know, it's funny because obviously I think anybody would want that bet right now, 55-1, 57-1. But it just goes to show how hard it is to bet college football futures now with the dominance that Alabama and Clemson have. When you have a 55-1 that makes a playoff and you don't even have an easy hedge strategy.
You can like maybe lock up like one or two units.
You're laying $4, $4.50 in this game, and then even more if Alabama takes care of Oklahoma. So really tough. But, you know, I don't know. I think that's a really hard game to evaluate because neither team has really had been all that tested. Notre Dame, like you said, I mean, they got to play Dungy without, or they got to play Syracuse without Dungy second to last week. Florida State pretty much just handed them that game with turnovers and mistakes, you know, what Florida State does. And then they didn't play very well against USC. So maybe the USC game wakes them up a little bit, whereas Clemson's coming off that, you know, Pitt blowout. But I don't know. It seems like they're more live than a lot of these teams are when they come in and face Alabama or Clemson in the semifinals. So I'm going to be kind of interesting to see where both these teams stack up.
Sounds good, guys. I appreciate it. Yeah. I just had my second question is, unfortunately, I've got to attend a wedding on the day of the college football playoffs, and I'm just looking for the best strategy to try to watch these games.
Well, I'm going
to
ask you the most important question. Is that your friend that planned a wedding on the day of the college football playoff?
No, I got married in the fall, and it's my wife's maid of honor decided to do that.
We will not hang up on you, and you can finish your question.
These Christmas or holiday weddings are becoming more popular now where they have around New Year's.
Really?
The college football playoff day is up there with New Year's Day. It's my favorite days of the year to watch football, so it's killing me. So I'm thinking, the obvious choice is to stream it on my phone, but I'm going to get caught doing that and yelled at and about two, three times in. That's going to be the end of it, so... It might be a lot of bathroom breaks to go to the hotel bar and watch the game.
You got
to
do.
I
will say, if you didn't know, Reddit has got a lot of good streams that work on your actual cell phone, or you just have to keep checking the app. But you're going to need a battery pack or two on your phone if you don't already have one.
Yeah. I'm thinking it's definitely a double battery pack day because I can't possibly run out of battery, especially if any of these games are close. So
awesome. Hey, Ty, we appreciate the phone call.
All right, guys. Have a good night.
Take it easy. Nice. All right, Ryan, we're going to get to your question now. I apologize, but I didn't want to make the callers sit around for 5 to 10 minutes. Because this is an interesting question. Do bowl points matter? I'll reiterate his question more or less. Buying early and then stuff happens and you have to buy out, or do you believe in the next man up? I will say in general, I think we had a bet before this that neither of us would say the M word. So I was thinking about saying it just now and I remembered. So
I forgot about that. Have we? I don't think we have yet.
A caller said it, but you have not said it, I'm pretty sure.
All right.
So we're still over. But the M word, you have to, everyone talks about that. Does it matter? I think there are some things that are applicable. You have coaches that are leaving. You have other guys taking over. You have coordinators. You have players. This is the new thing ever since Fournette and McCaffrey did it a few years ago. Now everyone's sitting out if they're an NFL prospect or at least a first-round potential prospect. They don't even play the bowl games. So that's a big thing now you have to take into consideration. Ultimately, this is what I had heard earlier this week. I'm not exactly sure on the exact numbers, so do not quote me, but it's very close to the exact numbers here. Bowl games the last 10 years, underdogs have won 50.8% of them, I believe, or covered, I should say. Underdogs have covered 50.8%. They are 186 and 170-something. And of those 186 times they've covered, 136 have won the game outright, which is an extremely high percentage. Only 50 of those 186 covers actually lost the game. And so that's, it draws into question, I guess, do the point spreads matter? In some sense, if you like the dog, you should definitely be betting some money line. And I think that makes sense. And we have questions about my money line round robins that I do almost, every weekend during the season. But I think the bowl season's a great time to do them. You have a lot of high variance games where, like one coming up, I'm not sure, is Middle Tennessee State, Appalachian State this weekend? I think it's Saturday. That's one where I think it could easily be a Middle Tennessee State win outright. So I will post it on Twitter for people that asked about that when I make it, and I'll make it before Saturday because there's at least one that I'll use from Saturday's slate. But coming back to, am I worried about, missing out and worried about which numbers I'm getting? Ultimately, like, the point spreads do matter. Getting a better number does matter. We know that. And so if there are certain cases, if for that instance, I bet some money when it opened in Middle Tennessee State at +9 and +8. For one, I had it lower than a touchdown anyways, but I also knew that Satterfield was likely to take the Louisville job. It wasn't official yet, but that was a potential thing. So let's say it was reversed, for example, and I had Appalachian State at -12 and it came out +9. Well, I'm probably not going to bet Appalachian State in that spot just because I know Satterfield and the coach might leave, and that's going to change. At least the market's going to change some. Even if you still like the Appalachian State side, might as well wait. So you have to take into account everything. But ultimately, I think a lot of it's kind of overrated and over-discussed. But people need narratives to, talk through on their radio shows or podcasts and stuff. And so definitely try to get the best numbers you can. And if that's betting early, and, you have to just be aware of what you're betting and if there's potential that it could move against you or a coach could leave or a big player on the team could sit out, et cetera. So that's where I'm at, and I'm going to let Matt take it from there just because I don't know if you have a different philosophy in what you're doing right away. Now, I know it was different this season because you were making openers at Caesars before anyone else in town, and I don't know if you were betting elsewhere or how you were getting down, but anyway, you can take it from there.
I mean, I think you got to be prepared to, you have to be aware going in. If you're going to go bet a bowl game, you got to be aware of the possibility that, hey, this quarterback might want to sit out or – you know, there's been some talk here and there. Like, you obviously need to be aware that, you know, if you bet West Virginia at open, then you didn't do your homework. I think it's safe to say, like, so I think you need to kind of know that going in. And in my opinion, unless there's a game you just absolutely, you're convinced the number's going to be gone and you aren't going to see that price again, I don't think there's any rush to, you know, to bet early. I don't see the hustle to get up there and have all your plays in. I did that last season and it really didn't work all that well. So, you know, I think just take your time, you know, absorb all the information you can leading up to the Bulls. And I, honestly, I'd rather wait until the day of or the day prior and make a decision then than rush into a decision in early December and then force myself into a game where, you know, maybe I find out later guys are suspended or someone's not playing that, you know, maybe holds some value. I don't know. I think personally I would rather just wait and try to make a little bit better determination the day of the game as opposed to firing in, you know, at openers or the first couple of days.
Nice. No, that is a little bit different approach because I generally try to bet earlier in the week if I can, because I think my edges are going to diminish. But for bowl season, it's probably better, or it is better, to be more careful and at least cautious on that. And the other thing you mentioned at the beginning is just being, you know, you have to have done your homework to an extent, you know. So, like I said, I wouldn't have gone in and then bet Appalachian State if the number came out super short, just because that was one example where I was pretty certain their coach is going to be out, and it's only going to probably move against them in that case, whether the number was correct or not at that current time. So, yeah, you have to be prepared. I think that's a good way to put it. Do some homework, circle certain games, make sure you have notes on each of those before you're actually betting them, if you're going to try to bet the openers right off. Next question came from, I don't know, at VOIGTZR. So however you say that,
whatever that means, void teaser.
Yeah, void teaser. That's it. That's a CG thing or something, or the void and teasers or something. He asked, this is actually a pretty good question. I don't want to go on too long about this, so you can cut me off in a few minutes. But he asked, do you tell your wife about big losses?
I actually have something to say about
this. I'll let you say first then. And he said parentheses, Hawaii, Wyoming, was it? Question mark.
All right, so I was having a tough Saturday. You know, I took a couple half-court heaves against me in college hoops. And then I ended up losing the Tua bet, which was pretty, you know, stressful or, you know, disappointing after the entire season sweating it. So I just wanted to complain to some people, not people that are degenerates who've listened to me complain about Tua losing day, for the last week, but I just want to complain to some friends and family. So I was complaining to everybody and I couldn't find anyone that cared. So I asked Cheetah, I go, do you bother your family with this stuff? I'm wondering if I'm crazy and I need to just leave them alone because they are not interested in hearing about me losing the Tua Heisman bet. And so we were just kind of talking about it. So funny that someone asked that after we were discussing it the other day.
That's a good point. I didn't even put that together, but you actually did reach out to a couple people and it was like, well, no response.
They don't give a shit.
Just two half-court shots, that's all, you know, in 3 hours of time. So it was the Hawaii-Wyoming game. To preface this for people that didn't know, I'm going to get detailed here, but Wyoming, they opened +4 against Hawaii on the road. And I had it closer to pick anyways, and I bet +4 right at open. If you don't know the end of the story, they lost by 4, just so people do understand. So that piece of my bet, which was just a 1-unit or 1X bet, pushed. But when it was 3.5 a day or two later, I got word that, McDonald, I think, the quarterback for Hawaii, wasn't going to play, but it wasn't public. And so I bet a lot of money on +3.5. And +150, +140, like the Hawaii money line, or excuse me, the Wyoming money line at the time. Even up until the day of, it was like +3. Like, we didn't really move it that much when we hit a lot of 3.5. So I also bet the under in the first half for a full 1 unit and the full game for a full 1 unit. So, and it was like 5X or 5 to 6X on the +3.5 to plus money with the intention of playing back some knowing it would move. And then I liked Wyoming anyway. So, it wasn't until the day of that it finally broke. Actually, that was the game, if people probably saw after the fact, where Hawaii actually had dressed another player in McDonald's uniform.
Right.
And he was warming up, trying to pretend like he might play.
Yeah.
And then 30 minutes before it was finally reported, he's out. And anyway, they ended up closing Wyoming -4. So it flipped from +4 to -4. I think it was mostly -3.5s out there. So this guy, he said, do you tell your wife about your big losses? I'm prefacing this with, I didn't actually lose as much as I probably made it out to sound like, because I had won both of the under bets. I pushed the +4, and then I did play back on Hawaii when it was +3.5, and I played back on Hawaii when they were +130, +140, +150. So I scalped like 30 to 50 cents on every account where I bet Moneyline. So I made money there. Didn't matter who was going to win the game. But, you know, Wyoming was up 3 with a minute left, and there was a heave, you know, into the end zone that ultimately swung me from winning like 6 or 7 units to losing just over 2, which is why it hurt, right? Until I think it was the second biggest swing of college football season for me outside of the Moneyline round robins from Thanksgiving weekend. So up until that point, it was the biggest. So when you have like an 8 or 9x swing on a game and it was a crazy play like that, it's brutal. But I will say, going back to your actual question about telling my wife, she knew about it beforehand, which is maybe surprising to some people. So I had told her in advance that there was, just a massive edge and good information. And I had to just bet as much as we could. And then we were going to play back on the other side later. And so she knew it was at stake. She stayed up until she fell asleep. We were actually in, a good position. Like, she fell asleep early in the fourth quarter. So she went to sleep thinking we were maybe going to win that. And then we didn't. So she wasn't really sweating it with me or watching it or anything, but she was aware, but I generally don't. She usually she's told me this before, and then we'll move on. But she's told me that back when I was doing this more regularly initially, so like maybe 7 or 8 years ago, she could tell by my demeanor, if it was a good day or week or bad day or week. And I've gotten better at just not really letting that like hamper my family life or, regular life. So I at least am proud that she doesn't know as much just from, being around me if it was a bad or a good day. So, but I do tell her if there's like, hey, but I'm going to have $30,000 on Wyoming this weekend. Normally wouldn't bet $30,000 on Wyoming. I feel like I should probably let her
know. She's sweating the app. She's watching on the app.
She probably was. She's like, I'm going to go upstairs and just go to bed. Fired up the U Stadium app that was streaming it. Anyways, so I do tell her occasionally, but I guess the question is, do people tell family members, like Matt was saying, or girlfriends or something? I would go on the notion of not telling them if you can help
probably,
it.
Like, probably not, but it just depends, I guess, how much DGEN they've got in them.
That's true. You kind of got to read it out. If it's early in the relationship, don't bother. It's a family member. I mean, like, sure, you probably can. They're not going to disown you, but good question. I liked it. Next one up, we have outside of the Moneyline round robin. We talked about that. I will post when I do. Oh, and it was the Notre Dame one. So we're good on that.
You want to, nice. I mean, maybe go through some of the games?
Yeah, let's go through some of them. I have the ones that I've bet, which we'll go. Why is it not loading? There we go. Saturday, there's 5 games. I have action on just the Middle Tennessee State one, and I'm going to use them in a Moneyline round robin on the Moneyline. I should have probably taken North Texas. I personally, and I follow Utah State pretty closely, and I have relatives that are alumni from Utah State, and I know he doesn't coach there anymore, but I knew a coach there. And for some reason, I didn't know Matt Wells was really a candidate to leave. So I might have blown that, because I thought when it was 10-11, it was kind of close enough. I think my number is like almost 9. But had I known that, I probably would have just taken the double digits, because now it's sitting at 7.5, -105 even at Chris to like play back if I wanted at least or whatever. So I missed the boat there. I'm not sure if you have any other bets on Saturday that you like from those 5 games.
Well, the North Texas game, I think when we opened that number 11, I actually assumed that there was a good chance both coaches were going to be gone.
Right, yeah,
so
that's true.
It actually was kind of a bad break or good break for people who backed North Texas in the sense that Littrell ended up coming back. But I mean, they just didn't really, I didn't bet much Conference USA down the stretch, but looking through, they didn't play very well down the stretch. I think they lost to Old Dominion, beat UTSA by a field goal. Like, they didn't play well, and they, really didn't face much of a schedule. Neither of these teams did, actually. But I did see one cool thing today about that game. North Texas, all of their losses have been by 8 points or less, and they've never trailed by more than a possession all season.
They never trailed by more than a
possession. Taking 7.5 is kind of interesting in that regard, but I think maybe
free money.
I think kind of the strength, or I guess I'd say talent differential, might stand out a little bit here. I think Utah State will probably be interested in the game. This guy,
did you bet the Chiefs or something?
He's sweating Tyreek Hill dropping this pass.
You can talk if you want. Oh, he's a Chiefs fan. He's got a Chiefs wallet. Oh, he just pulls out a Chiefs wallet.
Yeah, that was rough.
Hill would hit him in the face.
I'm like over here looking, and he's like gyrating back here, freaking out. Yeah.
I thought we were calling 911 for like 3 seconds. I thought.
No, but
that should have been a touchdown. Yeah.
Yeah,
right in the face, man.
So no, I don't know. I'm probably not going to play that game, but kind of interesting to see if
strength of schedule wise is like totally goes to Utah State.
Colin was telling me they're both like dead near the bottom, like almost as bad as it gets. Both of them.
Who's doing that ranking? I mean, they play Michigan State on the road and almost beat them.
Yeah,
Utah
but
State,
they just
Arkansas
didn't really face
is not
much.
Close there. I know Michigan State didn't end up being that good, but that was opening week when they were healthy.
Yeah,
healthier. I would
Either way, yeah, I do think Utah State's faced at least a better schedule. And
they played BYU and beat them.
This is one I think, what, now at like 7.5, 7, you almost consider betting the favorite now. Probably not. You can't really take North Texas anymore. But
yeah, I wish I knew more about the guy taking over. He's like a co-defensive coordinator who's supposedly the head coach now. I forget his name, Elai or something like that.
Yeah.
He's not even the main defensive coordinator, actually. So not a ton to go off of there, but everything else, I know we'll talk about this game real quick because Harry's out. He's like the number one receiver prospect for Arizona State. This is one where people that, you know, maybe knew he was going to be out or were worried that he might miss, hurried and grabbed Fresno State early at -3. You're probably in sitting with a good position. In worst case, you can play back here at +5, 5.5. But Fresno State, the number's too high. You know, assuming Harry's going to play, I actually think 3 was a little high. So with him out, maybe it should be more like 3, 3.5. But now he's 5. So I don't know. You have a little bit of, I think, a lean that way on Arizona State.
You know, I think we're getting into the day and age now that these teams are starting to become aware of their point spreads, and it actually is sort of like bulletin board material. And it's really not every day that a Pac-12 team is a 4 or 5 point dog to a Mountain West team. So I know that obviously Fresno State's a much better team. Arizona State had to sneak out, you know, eke out a few close wins down the stretch, and Fresno's defense is going to be a pretty tough test, you know, with no Harry, but I don't know. Is that just really good bulletin board material for Herm and Arizona State? Probably the more talented team coming in here, being disrespected like that. I'm curious to see how they come out and what Fresno's really playing for after winning, you know, reaching kind of the pinnacle of their season.
That's true. They did the
winning
best
that
they could,
game,
right?
you know, winning the Mountain West in overtime at Boise. I think they kind of exercised some demons winning that game. So I don't necessarily know. You know, they won their bowl game last year, whereas Arizona State, I think, got bashed by NC State, I want to say. So is the motivation really there for Fresno? I think maybe if you're going to play this game, which I'm not trying to play too many Pac-12 teams, I think it has to be probably Arizona State or nothing.
So let me ask you, because I got in a not an argument, but I had a conversation with somebody about just the kind of conference-by-conference assessment going into bowl season. And I told them that in general, I think the ACC is down this year. Last year was the Pac-12 that I think didn't cover. They were 0-7 or 0-8 against the spread. I think only one team actually won their game was Utah, I believe. I might be wrong. I'm not 100% sure. But they didn't cover a single game. So now this year, Pac-12 has been bet against a few times. But the MAC for 5 years has been awful. They're like 6-22 against the spread. Almost every MAC spread this
yeah, they steamed everything against
even
the MAC.
Even Buffalo, right?
Oh, like, yeah, right.
In Northern Illinois, the top two teams in the MAC got steamed against the Eastern Michigan. One of the reasons I brought it up Saturday, it's 3.5 now at Chris.
Yeah.
Like, I probably have to bet EMU now against Georgia Southern, who runs the option. EMU saw the option when they played Army. Actually, they got 80 carries of option against Army under,
wow,
I think it was like 4 yards a carry. It wasn't that bad. EMU lost to Army because Army somehow always wins games. But I was going to mention, because Michael was calling about that, like that, I was way low on Army all last season. And I finally this year, just like before the season, was like, okay, this is my Army number, +4.
Yeah,
and
right,
then just went from there the rest of the way. So the fact that you had Houston a small favorite, granted King probably swings a little bit too, but I'm actually not surprised, because if you had asked me a year ago, I would have thought Houston would be a favorite too. So it's weird how Army always just does that. Option teams kind of do in general. But anyway, I kind of like EMU, but they're a MAC team, so it goes back to that stance. So my question is, and I may know kind of in advance and whether or not you can talk about it or not, but just kind of how do you aggregate conferences and maybe adjust your numbers accordingly? Bowl games, yeah.
I mean, to be honest, we discussed, you know, the MAC not being very good. We discussed Pac-12 being down and discussed SEC needing a little bit of a bump. And I think we gave, you know, maybe a half point to a point bump on a few of them, but it probably wasn't enough, because there were, you know, a couple of the SEC versus Big Ten, SEC versus ACC, that, you know, when they were able to lay 3, 3.5, 4 with team that they think probably should be 6 or 7, they definitely did. And then, yeah, the MAC was crazy. I mean, a lot of the MAC games ended up coming out around 0, so it ended up just going through 0. It wasn't like a huge move, you know, through 3 and 7,
sure,
or anything.
Yeah.
But you definitely notice that now, and that's something it's kind of cool to watch. When you put out your number, you get an idea of what exactly you didn't account for, or, you know, didn't account for enough. And that was definitely one thing, I think, going forward. If the MAC doesn't look good again this year, that's definitely something I'm going to keep in mind next year.
You saw, because actually that Georgia Southern EMU game, open pick. UAB was basically pick. It was 1, and now both of those pushing, well, one of them's up to 3, but 3.5 even at Chris. And then UAB's pushing 3, just 2.5 in most spots. So Ohio's like the one MAC favorite, I believe.
Yeah, and that Ohio game is such an extreme case of teams going in the opposite directions,
yeah,
that I don't think you can find many people that want to bet San Diego State in that spot. But
it's sat at three.
Yeah, I mean,
sleeper.
Yeah, when Buffalo, the probably the best team in the MAC all year and the team that kind of choked the title game away, is getting steamed against Troy with their backup quarterback. Like
that's
what
I thought.
It's bad.
If there was one outside of EMU, I was looking through these when I was discussing this last night. I think Buffalo minus two is the best one.
I like Buffalo. Yeah,
well, there you guys go.
Yeah,
I'll probably end up having money there, but at the same time. It's one of those, and you'll see this, actually. There'll be very reactionary moves in the market to the first few games from, like, a conference. I remember after the Pac-12 was struggling, they kind of got bet against in their final three or four games just because. So if the MAC's struggling again, you might as well wait on Buffalo. If, you know, if EMU wins and then Northern Illinois wins, then maybe the time to hurry and bet Buffalo, you know, it's Tuesday night or whenever it is that, it's Tuesday night that Northern Illinois plays. So that's something just, I guess, keep an eye on as it goes. Anything in BYU Western Michigan? I don't have anything. But
I didn't see much in that game, no. You know, that bowl gets kind of weird, so I think if you wanted to maybe fade Sataki and a team, BYU's probably not going to be too interested to be there. I think that would be the worst money line dog, although it is the MAC and
it's the MAC
Western
again,
Michigan with a backup. Yeah. But I don't think that would maybe be the worst play in the world there.
I will say, generally, BYU would not be excited to be in this bowl game, but they, for the first time in however long, I mean, they had the worst year ever,
right.
Not ever, but since 1948 or something last season. They didn't get to a bowl last season. So to get to one, at least got to 6-6. Maybe they aren't going to just be super flat. I do like, Michael actually mentioned it, it's the next game underneath it on the rotation. But I do like Wake Forest some. I took a little 4.5 on an opener. And is it Newton, I believe, is that third stringer that's actually been pretty good, the freshman for them at quarterback.
Yeah, what's his name? I can't remember.
Pretty sure it's Cameron Newton.
Newman. Yeah, Newman.
Go. I was like, Cam Newton, he might play play in the NFL.
Yeah, I'll bet him. Nah.
He's getting four against
Memphis defense.
I like Memphis just because I like RPO stuff and teams that play up tempo and running backs nuts. I think, what did he end up rushing for this season?
Henderson. Henderson's actually not playing in this game. So
is he not playing at all?
Yeah,
for sure.
He's sitting out. I'm not sure if
he's going pro or banged up
or what it is. Let me look. But, you know, I was looking at this.
Maybe he just decided after this season, why wait and just go pro? Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, yeah, it just says injury none. So 1,900 yards.
Yeah, got to 1,900 then.
Well, you got, you know, this Memphis team. I don't even know if they get off the mat after how they lost the AAC
again,
title
Yeah,
game.
That's a good point, too.
Yeah, and then they're playing Wake, who is so bizarre. Wake lost 5 home games this year and is bowl eligible. So they went 1-5
that's
at
strange.
Home. Or at least 1-5, or at best.
Opponent dependent.
And,
yeah.
You know, they pulled a couple big upsets, crushed Duke in the finale to get here. But I was looking, in the last 2 years, Dave Clawson's pulled an upset in their bowl game. Beat Temple as a
Temple
big favorite 2 years
dog.
Ago.
Yeah, I had that
and
one.
Then beat A&M in a kind of a crazy shootout last year. So pretty nice coaching edge, team from at least a better conference against a team that pretty much gagged away their conference title game. It seems like a nice spot for Wake. It's just, man, watching that defense, I really have no interest betting either of these teams. They just can't make any stops. So
I didn't know Henderson was out. I mean, if there's one guy that just makes that big of a difference that isn't a quarterback, I mean, he's up there as far as players in the country, maybe worth like a point to the point spread. So, nice. I'm glad we touched on that one then. One other one where my number was a little bit off, and it's been bet the other direction. They opened +2, -1 now, Chris, at least. La Tech against Hawaii, playing in Hawaii. I'm not sure how much. I'm curious how many points you gave home field for Hawaii because they are playing at home, even though it's a bowl game. And there's, you know, who knows? And it's a whole. I feel like these bowl games in Hawaii and like the Bahamas just end up being really random, anyways.
Yeah.
I did like a half home field, which maybe is.
Oh, interesting.
I already give Hawaii like 5 points, which is maybe a little high, anyways. So I did 3 instead of like my normal 5. So I, anyway, that's where I was at. So I actually have La Tech. Like should be like around 4. I didn't end up betting them though, just because I hate this game in Hawaiian. I hate the Bahamas game, even though Florida International I think might be a good bet. But anyways, I'm just curious what you use for home field there and if you adjusted it any.
Yeah, I gave them 4. I figured I didn't know if maybe being on the, I don't know, the distraction of playing in the Hawaii Bowl for the other team I feel like is significant enough to where maybe it's not that much of a difference. But numbers a little bit shorter now than what I had it with a 4-point home field advantage. So I don't know, somewhere between pickish to 2.5, but
okay.
I mean, looking at Hawaii, they started the year really strong, kind of surprised everyone, had that 4-game losing streak, and then their last 2 games, they should have lost both of them. They should have lost UNLV at home.
Oh, yeah.
Some shenanigans happened in that game. And then I watched the San Diego State game. I mean, credit to them. They played well, and they were in the game, but guy shanked like a 30-yard field goal to win the game for San Diego State. Then they end up winning overtime.
That was, you had the under, right?
Yeah, you got a team off two games they didn't really deserve to win. Who's been sitting around at home for a month playing at home against Skip Holtz, who, you know, maybe not the greatest coach in the world, but has a lot of bowl experience, has won plenty of bowl games over the years. I kind of feel like Louisiana Tech's the right side. I don't really want to go crazy with this game, but it seems like they might be the way to go.
I think we're on the same page, because I think I'm going to end up having some money on them just because there's still a ton of plus ones out there. There's plus 1.5 in Vegas, and I think they should be a favorite anyway. It's tough. So let's talk about one game I know you really like. Then we're going to do a quick, like, 5-minute college basketball slate thing for Saturday, because there's a few cool games on Saturday and one between two of our alma maters. But real quick, what was it going to be? Boston College, Boise State. You like Boston College quite a bit. Just give us your 2 minutes on that game. For me, I'm not necessarily not betting Boston College, because I said I think the ACC has been kind of down in general. That doesn't mean I'm just going to automatically bet against the ACC, but you know, when it's like an SEC matchup against an ACC team, like you were saying, all those guys are betting SEC games basically right away. This is Boise State in the Mountain West Conference, which is pretty down in general this year. And it's like the first time in a while that, you know, Boise hasn't even won their actual Mountain West Conference title game anyway. So can they really be laying 3 against Boston College? Go for it.
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing with Boise typically going into these bowl games is they a lot of times get paired up with a Power 5 school, and it ends up being a really big deal to them to prove that they can go out, you know, Oregon last year being a great example, kind of like a regional rivalry, wanting to go out and prove that they can beat the Pac-12 school that everyone thinks is going to win. I think this is a unique situation where they actually really aren't all that concerned with the Power 5 opponent they're playing, probably don't have that much interest in winning this game relative to, you know, prior years. Going through looking at some of the places they've been recently, they played in Vegas, Phoenix, San Diego, all super desirable destinations to travel to. Now they're going to Dallas to play in the Cotton Bowl.
And it's further
morning
away
after Christmas, so obviously BC's not going to have any fans, but Boise's not going to travel. I don't think their fans want to go. Don't know if the team really wants to be there. And, you know, we've talked about Boise all year. I haven't really liked them anyway. I haven't thought they were all that great. Coming off kind of a heartbreaking home loss to lose the Mountain West title game at home in overtime. Do they have any interest in this game? And, you know, I think it's one situation where you got BC, who lost their bowl game last year, kind of stumbled, you know, down the stretch, had a really bad game, probably their worst game of the year against Syracuse in the finale. I think they're going to be motivated and a lot healthier. A.J. Dillon probably going to be healthy after being banged up all year. So I think, don't want to use the M word, but I think Boston College is going to want this game a lot more, and I just think Boise's overrated to begin with, so I think it just really sets up well.
So if there was ever a spot, this is the one for Matt. Nice. Let's go real quick. 4 games we like. If someone calls in the last 4 minutes, we'll take the call too. Not 4 games we like. I just read my annotation here on the notes, which is incorrect. But 4 games Saturday that are intriguing. Nova at Kansas. We were both mad we didn't bet Penn when Nova just played them earlier. Anyway, they ended up losing the game outright. Now they're going into Lawrence. I think it should probably be about double digits, minus 10. Butler plays IU at the Pacers Arena. It's a neutral. I have IU just a short favorite, minus 1. Utah, Kentucky, which I graduated from Utah. I think you graduated from Kentucky, right?
Yeah, I graduated.
I don't even know what your degree's in. You may have told me.
Integrated Strategic Communications, which is basically PR and advertising.
Did not know that.
I wanted to work for a sports team. Wanted to do like media relations. Ah, nice. So that was I figured that was the way to go. But okay. Pretty worthless.
I believe you. I just didn't know. Yeah. That was a thing for me. I don't know if you probably don't remember this. Years ago, there was one guy or two guys maybe that didn't think I actually had a degree in sports psychology, a master's degree. I was just making it up to like try to build my brand, right?
Right.
And so I actually offered. I started selling packages where I said I will frame you my diploma and send it to you for like $50 or something.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, Jesus.
And nobody actually bought one for some reason. And then he stopped giving me shit about it. So that was the end of that. But we both do have degrees, so I'm proud of you. Nice work.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. I still have, by the way, since it's kind of finals time of year, I still to this day have the nightmare where I forgot my final and I'm not going to graduate college because I forgot about my, like a class I had to take all semester.
Like every few weeks.
Maybe 3 or 4 times a year I jump out of bed with this dream that I forgot to take one of my finals.
That's interesting because my background in psychology, like why is that still like in the back of your mind? Like,
apparently a lot of people have that dream. That's
my dad has
a pretty common thing.
Still where he's like naked in class all the time.
Really?
Yeah, he's like, I don't know if that must have actually happened to him or something when he was younger.
Yeah, probably.
He never told me, but now he has a dream about it still to this day. Last one, Zaga at UNC. I have UNC like 2.5, but that is a road game. Anyway, any of those 4 interests you in general, college hoops. I think you've been doing pretty well so far this year as far as betting wise. But yeah, any thoughts? And then I think we should do like a dinner bet. I'll take Utah against Kentucky on whatever like the closing line is.
All right. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. If it's flat, then no action, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Villanova-Kansas game, I think after the loss that Villanova's coming off of, Kansas is probably going to be pretty popular. I'd say, Ken Pom has 9 right now. I don't know if I'm not really in a hurry. I don't feel like there's any value betting against Villanova at this point. I mean, Cat's pretty much out of the bag. They're down a little bit this year. So I think you'd have to probably try to find a reason to play Nova in that game if you're going to bet it. I don't think there's really much point betting Kansas. Gonzaga, North Carolina, I wish they were playing this game kind of, a different time of year, had a different setup. Gonzaga coming off the Tennessee game, I think it's kind of tough and flying across country. But
not at full strength either.
That should be a great game, though. Two teams that can, really bang down low and should be interesting.
Do you have his number for it there by chance?
Looks like he's got Gonzaga or North Carolina by 2. So
okay, that's close.
Slight favorite. And then Kentucky-Utah, honestly, I mean, I'll take the dinner bet, but the way they're playing right now, team just hasn't been clicking. They really haven't covered many spreads this year, and now Quad A Green's transferring. That's kind of been the big news this week. So they need to play well, and I know Utah hasn't really had a good season, but team I've seen so far, they're not covering many 15-point spreads, which looks like he's got them like 14, yeah. So
cool.
I don't know, but we'll see.
Butler-IU?
Butler-IU? That's a tough one. Where is it? Because that's pretty much
Pacers
all that matters.
Arena. It's a neutral, yeah.
Yeah, I like Indiana quite a bit this year, but they didn't really impress me all that much against Louisville.
It's weird, like they kind of
really seems to love playing them. I feel like over the years that Butler usually fares pretty well at least from my understanding.
Yeah, it feels like in the past Butler's maybe been a slight favorite.
Butler beat them 2 years ago. Looks like
who was Indiana really impressive against? It was Marquette. They blew Marquette out, and people were pretty high on Marquette, myself included, coming into the season.
Right,
but then when they've had opportunities to show anything, like they lost to Duke, they didn't cover. Not surprising, I guess, that they lost that game, obviously. But, like, they struggled. They barely beat Northwestern. They barely beat Penn State. They barely beat Louisville. They won those three games by a combined 5 points. So, yeah, I'm a little bit hesitant to actually bet them. But I feel like they are definitely the better team. And numbers-wise, I go. And then Butler's was only like a point worse than Indiana. So, in the end, it's probably going to be a round pick or a short favorite. And it's probably one I'm passing on.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Looks like Butler, I guess they've beaten Florida on a neutral side, beat Ole Miss. But other than that, really haven't been all that tested, and they lost to Dayton and St. Louis. So Indiana, I would imagine, going to be pretty hungry. Should be motivated Got me for college basketball at the end of the
excited now.
Said motivated. Damn.
Oh, I didn't even realize. Nice. Someone probably is typing right now on the street.
No. But
that's right. It's funny because it wasn't even college
football. I haven't really dug too much Saturday. I'm going to do that tomorrow night. Should have some ideas, but right now still – haven't really gone through anything.
So, maybe the next 2 weeks we will not be doing a show, but after that it will be like NFL playoffs, but mostly college hoops. So we'll start diving into stuff. And, I'm excited. Good luck this season, everybody that's listening for bowl games. If you have questions throughout them and we're not doing a show and you want to just fire them at us on Twitter, I'm generally seeing most of my notifications. Matt will respond most of the time, too. So go ahead and shoot us those questions. But in the meantime, good luck as usual, and we will talk to you next week.